This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci.
And Jacob!
Educated educators talking education.
Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. Class is in session. And man, we still got the Aunt Jacob. I thought we were fixing that, Jacob. Come on.
I'm working on it. I'm working on a better long-term solution. But you know, there's a lot of stakeholders here. There's three of us, thousands of listeners. We need to find the right thing for everybody. So it's under construction.
Okay. It's happening, man. It's busy times these days, too. And hey, it's still summer. So let's not push too hard. Because remember, summer is the off season. Where we're retooling and we're getting ready. And Jacob was telling me, man, he's like, he's missing summer. He's grinding away in the office. Well, and he misses that summer that students get.
Well, here's what I can say though, Jacob. I mean, if anything, if you've would have learned and listened to anything I've talked about in the past 3 to 4 months, if you were using AI, you'd be having a heck of a lot more free time, my friend.
Maybe I should get in on that.
Tim, I hope you have invested big stock into AI because.
No, I, you know what though? I mean, yeah. So classes in session, trust, distrust AI, believe it or not, we're going to try to make sense of this because it is an issue, as Johnny points, or we were talking about before the show. There's some research now coming out. Now, again, when we're talking about research on the effects on AI, we have no long-term studies. So let's be careful to understand, quote, cause and effect relationships, you know, big data sets, all that kind of stuff. Okay. Not out there yet. And again, what do we mean by effects? But there's a body of research now, and Johnny, you know, I don't know that we're going to talk this much about this as much, but there's a level of distrust because I think what you pointed out is a different level that I saw, at least in this first kind of summary of the research, which is, and this one does, it goes all the way back to the initial fears of teachers and faculty saying, I can't trust that my students wrote this paper because they used AI, right? And so there's that level of distrust that, you know, of course, students will use it to try to get away with something, and faculty know that, and it's AI. But now, though, this research really starts to point out there's actually a backwards part of that, too, where students themselves are now feeling like they're under hyper-surveillance about using AI when the fact that they're not, or that they might be accused of using AI. And so this level of trust, which you would say between a teacher and a learner, a faculty member and a student, that relationship revolves around trust. And right now, it's kind of what the research is saying is that, yeah, there's an amplification of distrust on the faculty's point, on teachers' parts, and students themselves being concerned about being, quote, blamed inappropriately, inaccurately for using AI in wrong ways. There's a whole lot, though, to that that's very simple in understanding that, because there's also this one thing that kind of made me a little bit kind of going, huh, I wonder if that's the truth. And Johnny, what I was talking about is going, yeah, I use it, right? I'm going to say I'm a user of AI. I don't think I'm an abuser of AI. I don't believe it at this point. I believe I'm trying to model and show ways that it can really elevate a lot of the work that I like to do. It helps me get it done. Yes, sometimes quicker, but it also allows me to take these huge concepts in my head that would have taken days and maybe even months to put together. And now, because I have this tool that really helps, you know, really speed up, it helps me make sense of these big concepts, and it helps me pull things together, and it helps me have a vision really quickly. And for anything, sometimes it allows me to put together a pretty powerful concept, paper, podcast, quick little video, elevator pitch, all really quickly. And that, and so then I can present it to you or present it to somebody else, and we can begin a conversation where typically we might have had a conversation about, that would be cool if we could. And I keep saying AI kind of gives us the ability to do, but we can now. And I don't mean that, but we can now and it's finished and therefore let's go home and relax. I'm saying that, that we can now, but there's a little bit of a kind of self-reflective moment of going, well, are people thinking less of me now because I use AI? You know, and so that's that level of distrust. I know it wasn't the area, but the whole idea of trust is trust. Johnny, go ahead, comment
well,
on.
Well, Tim, I think this is important, especially to bring in a class and session where we go back and forth and we make jokes about being, you know, you and the church AI and me as sort of the, you know, the skeptic and the anti AI. Back in the day, I used to say, hey, I want to go head to head with AI, you know, and I'll write and publish more papers than AI. Well, I would have lost that battle, clearly. But AI is like a giant tidal wave, right? And when a big tidal wave is coming, I have this impulse to dive straight into it and hopefully go through it and survive. And I feel like that's where I'm at. But Tim, this is interesting because we've talked about it and I brought it up before. And as it's like, it's part of the conversation. I'm not going to say that the tool is good or bad. Mm. We're going to say like how to use it. Let's not oversimplify it. Like, hey, am I judging you because I tease you about AI? Do I think you're not able to do these things? And that's the part I want to come back to is, Tim, you're talking about AI as, you know, a tool to help kind of change the labor, say maybe a task that you already knew how to do. And in fact, I'd say are quite excellent at. Tim, you're a published author. I know you know how to write. You're a teacher. You know, you're a social studies educator. We're from a generation where we learned to do that. As I would say, young people are still learning to do today, just a little differently. And the AI plays a role in that learning for them. But you already know how to do the task and do the task well. And you utilize AI in a sense to help kind of combine efforts with you to maybe speed things up. That's kind of my summary of your use of it. Or to maybe spark some ideas or to, you know, maximize skills that you already really have, right? And that you're putting to use. But one of the things that's happening with access to these AI tools that are doing labor that, you know, we had to learn to do, which I'm not against, right? We can be humble about this, Tim, even though we put in the hard work. And, you know, I said, hey, I want to go head to head with writing articles against an AI machine. Well, guess what? The AI machine's pretty good at writing articles, and I can keep up for only so long, except I have to sleep.
Yeah.
Right? And I have to go eat and I have to do all kinds of things that the AI machine can keep doing. So it's going to win that battle. But Tim, one of the things is not blaming AI or you, the user of AI, and that could be any user out there. It's part of our everyday lives. That's what I come back to. It's that tidal wave that we're not going around. It's hitting. And we're going to have to go straight through it. And some of the things going straight through it that I brought up, one is, we don't even need to get into it today's class and session, but is anybody, and yes, there are people saying this, and I know I sound like a raging liberal from California when I say this, but is anybody really taking seriously the environmental impact that it's going to take to continue to utilize AI at the capacity of trajectory it's sort of headed for? Like just the raw resources and the sort of amount of people on the planet and all these kinds of things that, you know, climate change and all that stuff that I know I hear it out there, listeners, like, hey, what's wrong with Johnny? He's a raging liberal today. I mean, yes, in that context, I'm saying one, it's environmental, like the capacity for Earth resources to continue this trajectory. That's one thing. The other part, and it's probably lesser of a conversation we need to have about it, but the other part is a huge contribution to something near and dear to both of our hearts, Tim, democracy.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying AI is ruining democracy, but one of the things the study you sent me today kind of alludes to and is tangent to is that we're beginning to look at culture and relationships, especially in learning, but all like peer-to-peer, just in general, And trust is really important. Trust mm-hmm. is really important in a democracy. Anyone out there listening, you know, trust is important in your neighborhood. It's sort of an essential. You want to trust your neighbors. We want to be able to, in general, trust our community, right? Healthy relationships are founded and maintained on trust, something tremendously difficult to build and easy to break, right? We teach this all the time in schools. Trust is essential in a democracy. Well, we're in an era of extremely high distrust amongst people.
When you say distrust, you're talking about like distrust of, let's just get to this so you can really dig in. Trust of, I don't believe that because, and we had this before AI, I don't believe that because I listen to Fox News and I know that Fox is right. Or I don't believe that, I listen to CNN, I know CNN is right. There was that distrust, but you're kind of going even deeper on,
well,
go ahead.
Well, Tim, because what I want to talk about is in any context we're talking about, I set this up, right, as trust is important. So if you're with me on that, you're like, yeah, well, trust is really important. It's sort of a foundation of, you know, people-to-people relationships. It's in neighborhoods, it's in classrooms, it's in our homes, right? It's in our countries. But the idea of, so what you sent a study was that there is, you know, a purported lack of trust related to AI. And I think this is really true. Not blaming and pointing my finger directly at AI, but more largely the role AI is playing in our culture because of these things, Tim. I think AI contributes to a lack of transparency and explainability. The answers just pop up, right? And I know that that's not the tech end of it. There's probably a programmer somewhere who's like, no, it goes to all these databases and does, but its effect on day-to-day relationships mm-hmm. and culture to us, the general user, the information just pops up. And in fact, sometimes different information can pop up. And I'm not saying I'm blaming AI for this, but us as users engaging with AI, I think that's its lack of transparency to the average user, to me, maybe even more than average user at this point. Tim, I've been going to church with you for almost a year now. Right? But I'm saying that sometimes that lack of transparency or that comfort with just the answers or the product coming to us, it helps kind of build towards distrust. If I can't see or know, right, then I may have some anxiety. It might be extreme, but it's popping up. But I may have some questions about like, hey, where did that information come from? In fact, too, then when I think about if I look deeper, well, AI is all based on gathering data, right? So it only knows what information that's out there and that it's given. So given that, then we have people who say, well, it's going to have bias or it's going to have particular effects on fairness. So it's sort of gray area, that moment we're in, where I can't see exactly where the answer is coming from. I hear that it might have bias. And Tim, I'm with you. That's before the big tidal wave of AI we had, like, well, if you got that information from particular news sources, well, it had liberal bias or conservative bias, right? So we're already in that sort of that rife for larger cultural distrust. Like we're in a petri dish, right? So I'm not blaming AI, but we're in this petri dish for like distrust to spread. And I think AI contributes to it. And I also think about it too, Tim, when we get to this level of like, I had a friend and he's a big AI congregation member like yourself. I'm just teasing Tim because I actually use AI a lot too. But he sent me a deep fake
mm-hmm.
of me teaching. And Tim, I want to tell you, it was
freaky
accurate.
Yeah, right.
Right. Now, obviously, people out there in the tech world know, like, well, you can see where things originate from. And, you know, even a deep fake, even a really good deep fake could be traced back. I'm not disputing the technological like ability to sort out what's real and what's not real. When I saw the deep fake of myself teaching, right? Fortunately, it wasn't teaching anything bad or anything controversial because he's a pretty good dude. He didn't want to scare me too much. But, you know, it was me teaching Shakespeare, which I'm a math teacher. I'm a social studies teacher. I've never taught Shakespeare in my life. So he had me teaching Shakespeare on a beach where I've never been, right? Mm. So this idea, like, this was so realistic, and I know people could say, like, oh, you can tell if it's real and not real. But, Tim, what it does is it destabilizes foundational trust experiences we have.
Right.
And so that's where I'm saying, like, when these studies are coming up, they're reminding us to don't say AI is bad or it's good. Don't over worry about it. But stop and ask questions about how are we using it and what might we be losing if we're not also tending to how do we maintain trust? How do we communicate? What are the boundaries and uses of AI? And I think students saying they're worried about it being accused of cheating and teachers accusing them of cheating, that conversation will evolve, but let's all listen to it because it's sort of like one of those early tells.
Mm-hmm.
There's something deeper here about trust that for me, AI is definitely contributing to a larger, more complex, difficult world to trust in. And that scares me, Tim.
No, I get it. I'm thinking about this, you know, I mean, it's like, oh my God, I could go this way. I can go that way. Just thinking about, so the deep fake, right? I mean, it's a good thing to point out because holy crap, you know, it might though kind of this contribute to, which to me is also like the hyper, accentuated really worse than I guess distrust is that, you know, I don't believe anything, you know, you hear people go, you know what, you know, here's the deal. Like, look, I don't care if it comes from CNN. I don't care if it comes from Fox News, unless I fully have my ability to get it myself. I am totally knowing because I just saw me teaching Shakespeare on a beach. And yeah. I have no recollection of being teaching on a beach, but darn it, it was possible. That now has just sparked like a chemical reaction in my brain that has now said, you know what? You can't trust anybody. You can't trust anything.
Well, that's a fear.
And so you put that into, as you said, let's go back to what we talked about, democracy. There's a level where of we have to have a belief in a certain, and Jacob was talking, you know, what is true? What is objective, right? Because we have to have some sense of you, me, and Jacob having an agreement that something is real, that it's potentially factual. It doesn't mean we don't have different takes on different discussions, but the content itself has some connection to all three of us believing it's real.
Well, there's two things, Tim, that you brought up, and I disagree with two things come to mind, and sparks out of a disagreement I have with you is objectivity doesn't exist.
I know.
Right, so I'm just gonna go like, but the goal, like I think what you mean, yeah, the sentiment is like striving towards that. Given our different perspectives, experiences, and expertise, that's the beauty of democracy, right? Is that common good.
Mm-hmm.
That we're gonna arrive at common good. And I'm gonna come back to it again at the fear of, you know, sounding I'm taking the super liberal perspective today.
Man.
You know, here I go. But scientific consensus, right? The scientific method applied around the world from diverse perspectives, diverse disciplines, saying, hey, we're running these experiments over and over again. And even without there being, you know, complete objectivity, we've kind of tamed our subjectivities enough. We've replicated these experiments enough time from different perspectives and different places and different disciplines, and we're landing on some consensus, some things that I think, like you're saying, are like a very trustworthy truth.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for most definitions of that, it's scientific consensus. It's running those experiments, whether they're social sciences or hard sciences or wherever, right? In many different languages and around the world from different disciplines that help us say, okay, there's enough consistency for us to kind of follow these results and apply them. And I think that's still true, mm-hmm, right? There's a value to scientific consensus and there's trustworthiness built on it. Like, it might not be your way, Tim, or my way, or Jacob's way, but together we're going to work through applying the best information we can get on whatever that topic is from experts and help sort of land on that thing that democracy calls common good, mm, right? In the interest of everyone. Mm. That means sometimes we have to give a little, right, Tim? Like, we have to meet and it might not always be the middle.
No.
I'd say meeting the middle is too idealistic, but we have to meet on, and one of the things that helps us do that over time is scientific consensus. Now, I'm not out here saying science, 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 only science. Scientific consensus, where different disciplines help contribute information.
Well, John, let me make this for people going, okay, scientific consensus, not what RFK Jr. is doing, because what RFK Jr. is doing is finding outliers in the science.
False equivalencies.
And bringing those outliers in science. Yes, they're scientists. Yes, they're doctors. That's, you'll hear the RFK, the Maha people talking about going, yeah, but this doctor, and he's a real doctor. So yes, he's an outlier. She's an outlier. When Johnny talks about scientific consensus, he's not dismissing other potential findings, contradictions, things that are out there. No, but the
way we get the scientific consensus,
right? But even that, though, you know, and so, but the attack on the distrust, you say this is, you know, bringing up, you like Johnny, the false equivalency. That was without AI, right? I could find a legitimate MD out there who could vehemently protest the findings of 1,000 doctors in the New England Journal of Medicine, and I could lift them up as going, see, it's not settled. Here's Dr. So-and-so out there. You're going like, wait a minute. But what has happened now is that the attack on medical doctors and scientific consensus has created a sense of going, well, you know, you can't trust scientists except for this one outlier. The one outlier now somehow becomes trustworthy. And I think, John, you know, that existed before AI. And I think our concerns are, as we're going into this, though, too, is now with a tool like AI, think of how much manufactured, legit, in scare quotes, consensus I could create by using AI to create a whole swarm of findings, of research studies, of results that absolutely could fly in the face of what we would say is consensus. And I think that, again, goes to that, you know, that extreme relativism that I always worried about, back to, again, just teaching social studies to my students, teaching Howard Zinn, the effect on them was I wanted them to question the narrative of U.S. history, but I didn't want them to go into a total cultural relativism where nothing matters, nothing's true, who cares, you know? Yeah,
and Tim, I'll add this too as we're kind of winding down today's class, because we could take this in a number of directions, but I'm really vibing with what you're saying here on it too, and I think this is the kind of important conversations we need to have around AI. Is like, you're right. It's highlighting things we already were struggling with,
right,
as a culture, but they're not going away. And in fact, like you said, there is potential. And this is the wonderful thing about human capacity. We as human beings in a democracy, we have the responsibility and the ability to talk to one another, to work together, to figure out, how is this AI tool going to be part of our lives, mm-hmm. right? And I don't just mean that like in every way, because sometimes it's our employer who's making those decisions, but it's all still at a human level. It's not like the robots are running this, right? So I get really excited, because when we're having these conversations, when we're reading these articles and these studies, we know that people are out there talking about, how do you use AI? How should we use AI? What are some of its strengths? What are some of its limitations? What are some of the guidelines or insurances we're going to need so that we can trust one another
mm-hmm.
and still have this powerful tool be parts of our lives? I think we're close to that. When I talk to tech people, I call them my techies. When I talk to them, they're like, oh yeah, you got to see this. You can see the digital footprints and all. It's like, okay, on the tech end, I know that people who know a lot about technology and its use, they tell me I worry about things I don't need to be worried about. But until those things are common knowledge to people like you and me, Tim, and our neighbors, mm-hmm. we're worried about them. I'm sorry. If the deep fake, I could see a video of myself teaching Shakespeare on the beach, I'm like, cool. One, I wish I was on a beach. Two, I don't really know that much about Shakespeare. Three, holy smokes. If someone could do this, what could they do? How do I even believe that, you know, the president saying such and such is real even, right? And so I think you're right, Tim. It has sparked this opportunity, I'll call it, or invitation, or even contagion, right? To think, well, nothing's real.
Not yet.
Like, I can't believe anything. And so I say, hey, come on, we all know better. We just got to figure out, they got to dive straight into the wave. That's where I'm at, Tim, the AI wave. Dive straight into it and figure out your way through it.
See,
what we're doing.
You're diving into it, trying to figure your way through it, and I'm actually not diving into it. I'm like, it's going that direction. I'm going to try to surf it and ride it. And you know what? We need to figure out if riding it and surfing it is a good attempt, or breaking through it and getting underneath it is a good attempt, because actually we need to know both. And that's kind of where we're going with here, man. And Jacob, we didn't even get to you, my friend, today.
I'm going to record my own answers and add it to the end of the podcast. I think I've got about 15 minutes, so should work out.
You've got a whole lot of material now for producer's choice coming up this week. Hey, but you know what though, at this point now it's time for your moment of zen. Control in modern times requires more than force, more than law. It requires that a population whose lives are filled with cause for rebellion be taught that all is all right just as it is.
Thank you for listening to today's class in session. If you want to grab more Busted Pencils, well, just go on over to Apple, Spotify, or you can always get at us at civicmedia.com or at our website, bustedpencils.com. Remember, you can find great Busted Pencils content on AI. No, just kidding. Every Monday for Homeroom, Wednesdays for Class in Session, and every Friday for Producer Jacob's Choice. And of course, Pencil Busters. Even though I make jokes about AI, you have fun with that AI and learn how to use it, because you can always tune in every Saturday and listen to Busted Pencils weekend broadcast at 3 p.m. Central Time across all the Civic Media networks for 1 hour with your favorite blue-collar scholars, Tim and Johnny, and keep Busted Pencils.